All right, it is 8:12, and you are listening to KBOO Portland. This is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. We're doing an unusual kind of a show today. Instead of having an author or a political activist or an elected official, we're having a band.
Yeah.
A band of women. An amazing band of women. It's our pleasure this morning to host Rose Bent, and we're joined live in the studio with Jay Chronic and Lady Trinity.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
And we're talking about, also, we're waiting for Miss Chief. She's coming because you women, it's like you're on your way to work and you're coming home from work. It's like talking about three dynamic women that are doing a lot of stuff in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And our guests are here today because this Friday you have your first, is it your first CD release party?
Yes. It's the official Rose Bent CD release party at Backspace.
Right, at Backspace. And we'll get a little bit more into that. But one other thing that I have to say, I'm glad that you're here today because I feel really discouraged. And I feel kind of depressed about what's happening with young people and with the government in the state of Oregon. And What I'm glad you're here is because all three of you ladies, you're artists, but you're social change agents, and you work with people, you work with young people, and I'm just worrying about the young people. Mm. And I just have to tell you, ever since I heard about this teenager from Oregon State that's been arrested for being supplied bombs by the FBI, and they're saying that he is a terrorist, it just worries me, because this is the thing. The kids need a mentor. And if we don't step up and make our relationships with the kids, somebody else is going to do it. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say, Lady?
It makes it kind of difficult because, take for instance, I just experienced my first bout with institutional racism, where I went in for an interview for a position and was denied that interview. I was informed that the target audience, the demographic of people, were people of color, yet it was a Caucasian male who actually got the job between him and two other people of color. And the reason why they told me I didn't get the job was because they felt like my degree was divorced from the work. I work with youth. And I have been working with youth since I was 17 years old. And the program was a new program that we were about to start in a school. And I had helped to build two of those programs, similar programs, and had been working with similar programs for the last 5 years. And so their explanation just didn't make any sense to me. Mm-hmm. And it was obvious that I had been discriminated against. And it's hard for youth to, you know, try to stay positive and focused when they don't have anybody who looks like them in their schools or in positions of power or leadership in the community.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And so, that's Lady Trinity. And Jay Chronic, Miss Jackie, mm-hmm. you're a teacher.
Yes.
So I'd love to spend a little time with both of you right now and just ask, what is the work that you do and what's your vision for your art? So I'm going to go back to Jay Chronic, Miss Jackie.
Yes.
What is the work that you do and what is your vision in your music?
I'm a teacher at Roosevelt High School, and I have the privilege of working with the lovely youth over there. And as far as my vision with my music, I want to make changes. I want young people, like you were saying, to have positive role models, specifically women, to look up to as far as music goes, especially hip-hop music. The current state of things is a little discouraging, like you were saying. You know, we have the Nicki Minajs and other pop artists that are out there that are serving as role models. And I just feel like if we could hear them even on shows like this more often, you know, artistically representing something other than their assets, as in body parts.
Yeah, quote, unquote.
It would be great, you know. I think it's a great thing to be both artistic and intellectual. And, you know, there shouldn't be such a barrier between popular music or hip hop music, whatever you want to call it now, really, and being politically involved, you know, and encouraging young people to be involved and know what's going on in their community and stand up for what they believe in and, you know, thoroughly research what they believe in and mm-hmm. understand why they believe in that.
Yeah. You know? And we do have a caller, but I want to go to Lady Trinity. I just want you to get that out. Like, what is the work that you do and what's your vision for what you want to do with your art?
I work for Impact Northwest. We provide social services. I'm a mentoring coordinator. I love my job, and I love the company that I work for. We help people on all levels, from seniors, from all stages of life, from the very beginning until the very end. I guess I don't really want to say that. But right now, we're actually doing a toy drive through Coin6 with Coin6 for families in need, and so I'm going to be helping coordinate that, and that's going to be a lot of fun. My vision for the music is very similar to Jackie's. I do want to make change. And I guess my goal is to increase women's self-esteem, to let them know that, you know, what's portrayed in the media is what you're supposed to look like isn't real. And they're unobtainable goals. They're unobtainable. These people get their faces spray painted on. And, you know, when you catch them on these magazines without makeup, it's like, oh, my God, but they're just regular people, you know? You know? And I think we set these unrealistic expectations for these young women, and they try to kill themselves, and, you know, anorexia and bulimia, and, you know, trying to kill themselves to fit into something that's not even real. And so I'm trying to fight that. That's what I'm...
Right on. Yeah. And we are talking with Lady Trinity and Jay Chronic from Rose Bett. We're waiting for Miss Chief to get off work and get over here. Again, like I said, we're talking about three women who are doing what they're doing, and it was really generous of you to slice some time in your schedule to get over here to KBOO. Rose Bett plays Backspace on Friday, December 3rd. With King Wolverine, Rich James, Portland George, Young, Mill, and Karma. It's a 9 p.m. show, $5 all ages show, and it's your first CD party. And we do have a caller. The number to call is 503-231-8187. Questions for Rose Bett. There's wit and wisdom going on over in this room, and I'm telling you, I already feel some better. Aww. And and the caller? We have Chris on the line.
Good morning.
Hi. Hey, Chris, what's going on?
Hey.
I wanted to call immediately because I was listening to Joe Uris yesterday morning on the Abe and Joe Talk radio show. And, you know, he was talking with this woman who had been researching the movements on the far right. And then they kind of moved into, you know, well, how come the left, you know, the right is using art and culture, you know, film to express, and the left isn't mm-hmm. doing that. And I just wanted to say that just even hearing the biographies of you strong women who are representing real women, who are articulate, who are doing work in the community, and you're making music that has that is having a positive impact on our youth, that the left is doing that, that we are aware of what we need to do, and that there is a vibrant hip-hop culture that is actively engaged in the community here in Portland. And that's something that is really unique to our city. And I just want to applaud you ladies for doing that. And
God bless
you. I just
want
to encourage you to keep doing it. And that's what I had to say.
Right on, Chris. Well, thanks for calling. And This is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. I've been feeling kind of depressed, kind of blue about this, the news about what's happening with young people. Also, you know, Muslim people in Oregon. I mean, this is Oregon. Okay, it's not a hotbed of terrorism. I don't care, FBI. You know what? U.S. Prosecutor Dwight Holton, slow down, calm down, have a seat. Don't be silly. And so we are joined by the women of Rose Bett, this amazing band. It's an all-women band, probably the preeminent, the top hip-hop band, one of the top hip-hop bands in the whole region. And
thank you.
Rose Bett has your first CD release party. It's this Friday, December 3rd at Backspace. It's an all-ages show. And we've been joined by Miss Chief. Thank you so much for coming.
I am glad I made it.
And we already went around the room to talk about people's jobs, people's work, and vision for your music. But can you just tell us, like, what is your work and what vision do you have for the music that you three do together?
My current work is I am a student. I decided to go ahead and educate myself more about this industry that I'm trying to get into now, the music industry. And also my vision for the music is I want to kick curveballs to people, not necessarily give them a straight on message of being better, but just through my personal experiences with life and dealing with things, I would like to teach others how to not have to go through some of the bad experiences that I had to. Just, you know, but from the things that I've learned, just pass down that knowledge so that other people can might be able to make better choices with their life. Mm. Not just things I've been through, but things that I've seen other people go through.
Mm. And there's also a piece with your music, too. You make conscious choices with your music about the language that you use and the images that you put out. Can you talk about that a little bit as well?
Well, I just wanted to challenge myself. I remember my grandfather telling me people use bad words because they don't have a big vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he told me. So, I mean, every now and then, I think there might be a couple cuss words, like barely any. And there's like a lot of songs that have no cussing at all. But I just wanted to be able to play the music anywhere and to let grandmas hear it and let, you know, grandchildren hear it and the whole family can sit around and listen to it without, cover your ears, you know, as my grandmother would say, you know.
Mm-hmm. And we are live in the studio with Rose Bent. We've got Lady Trinity, Jay Chronic, and Miss Chief. And, you know, I just wanted to open up the phone lines because it's rare that we have such amazing artists in the studio. We're usually talking about people that have written a book about something or, yeah. or you know, something that seems a little more dry. But I bet that there are people out there that maybe have questions about the hip-hop community and, you know, your opinions about the direction that Oregon is going and how we can invest in young people. And the number to call is 503-231-8187. And here's another thing about, I think you three are all from here. Can you talk a little bit about, she's going, I don't know. Can you talk a little bit, go around the room and talk a little bit about the people that influenced you to want to go into music? Because this is an issue too, is how many women locally go into live music, no matter what the genre. Not enough women do that. Not enough
right.
female human beings do that. So if you could talk a little bit about your family or whoever it was that influenced you and made you realize that you could do it. And I know that you all influenced each other too, which is a cool part of the story. But yes, Miss Chief, you start.
I would have to start with my very first music teacher, Miss Kathy Gifford. She was the music teacher at King Elementary School for a very long time. I'm not sure if she's still there or not, but the King School Choir was an amazing thing to be a part of. We had mini choreography. It was big. The what they called the ORF team would go to the Lincoln Memorial and sing every year. And it was just great to be in her classroom as a young child and learn about music and things.
Dude, Esperanza Spalding came out of King Elementary School as well. I love Esperanza Spalding. Have you ever heard of Esperanza Spalding? She's a up-and-coming jazz composer and bass player. How about you, Lady Trinity? People that influenced you.
I grew up in the church, but I will say my brother passed away when I was very young. And he had started a rap group, and so I'd walk around the house going downstairs to go get the clothes from the basement, and I'd hear, you know, like N.W.A. and Public Enemy. And then when he died, like, he was so talented, like, with his rhythmic scheme and just, like, his perfect writing, and just I wanted to be like him, and I didn't want to let his music die, so I got into it like that.
Wow. Okay. Okay, ma'am.
Well, my father played trumpet. So growing up, you know, he played in the church, but he did the college music thing. And then I came along, I believe, and kind of crashed his music dreams. But growing up, hearing him play trumpet all the time was definitely inspiring. And I was part of our church choir, too. And just kind of like looking at all the girl groups, I guess, that were hot in the 90s and really, the MCs that I grew up listening to, you know, there was a handful of female MCs really doing their thing, and I found that very inspiring and wanted to be like them. Yeah. I guess that's kind of what started me. Spoken word, really just writing poetry as an outlet, and, you know,
indeed.
I was blessed to come across people that wanted to involve me in music, and once I started, I couldn't stop.
Mm. Okay, and Rose Bent plays Backspace this Friday, December 3rd, 9 p.m. show. It's an all-ages show. I know there are people listening who are going to want to come and bring your teenagers. Do you know what? Bring your family.
Yes.
And come and listen to this show, because that's who this show is for. And we are talking with Lady Trinity, Miss Jackie, and Miss Chief about the work that they do in their group. Also, their vision for, you know, the work that we all need to do in our community. Mm-hmm. And this is one of these shows. It's like the beginning of what I think of as kind of a really heavy season. And sometimes I look around and I'm just so filled with what's not happening that we need to take our lunch bags and fill them up with what is happening. And that's why I'm so glad that you all are here. And if you have questions for Rose Bent, or, you know, what kind of work do you do with young people, or what do you think we should all be doing with young people, mentoring young people, give us a call at 503-231-8187. And Tabiti is on the phone. Tabiti, what's going on? What do you think?
Hey, how are you doing? First, I want to commend you all for your album and your efforts to produce music that really uses language in the way that certainly hip-hop is intended to function. I'm a professor at Washington State University, Vancouver, and I teach a course in humanities, hip-hop, images of hip-hop and film. And I'm actually going to make sure that a number of my students come to your concert. I'll probably bring at least one of my daughters.
Oh,
but
it'd
be great if I could even get all or one of you to visit my class on Friday and just sort of chat. My students are writing a project dealing with the hip-hop scene in Portland, historically and contemporary. Mm. And they're out interviewing different artists, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I really want to commend you for the work that you're doing. And I don't know, maybe you could talk a little bit about, you know, how the scene in Portland is evolving and where women specifically are fitting within that. So I guess broach that and maybe even tell me you could come to my class.
Hey, Tabiti, before you go, though, I want to hear just a tiny bit about your class and who are the people, the artists that you bring before your students, like that you talk about? Who are some of the icons that you touch on when you're teaching?
When I'm teaching, well, yeah. It's more I engage the history of hip-hop evolution itself. And so the course, we're listening to music, but also, you know, people often come into the class and they're, some are turned off because they're thinking that maybe I'm going to be rapping for them or we're just going to be watching music videos. And, you know, instead we're reading Chang or we're reading Mark Anthony Neal and Murray Foreman's anthology, That's the Joint, and reading, you know, works like Hip Hop Generation by Bakari Kitswana. And they're interrogating what does it mean to be white and engage hip hop culture and exploring your identity. And we watch films like White Boys. Films like what else do we watch? We watch films like Belly, and we begin to interrogate what kind of issues and images are being permeated through the culture, how the different films are actually enacting the aesthetics and the ideals that situate hip hop culture, and in what ways you know, we have these sort of reifying negative images as well.
I
want
to be in your class.
I appreciate it.
It's true. Yeah. We should bring you on the air here at KBOO to do this talk radio show as well.
Yeah.
Say it again.
I want to invite you to come on the air one of these days and do a show here with me on Wednesday morning talk radio too, because there's so much history. There's so much American history that people don't realize. And sometimes people take little pieces of history and they line it up. You know, this is this kind of history and this is that kind of history. Mm-hmm. But it's everybody's history, I think, you know, and we all just don't all know it. And I just wish there was a way to bring more people onto the same page with that.
Right.
Yeah, and that's one of the points, is that the music functions as this sort of conduit that brings people into the same space, right? Because one of the problems that we have is that we think that we're so divergent, but when we come into the same space and time, we often find, or if people that kind of engage, even going to hip-hop activities, et cetera, they see, wow, you know, we actually have a lot in common, you know, more so than somebody that may live down the street from me, you know.
You know what, before you go, and I want to ask all of you this, and I don't mean to be the downer queen of all this, but with this news of this teenager who's a student at Oregon State, and he's being accused of terrorism, really, when you look at over the past 10 years, all of the young people who've been prosecuted in Oregon, come on, it's Oregon. There's probably more cows and horses than people in this state. I'm putting that out. Most of the people who've been charged with these terrorism crimes are young African-American males. Mm-hmm. And we know that. And I want to get my arms around that. What's going on? And how do we you know, who are this community, reach out and protect our young people, because I don't buy the FBI thing. I can't believe what they're doing with this stuff. But I just want to ask you, Tabibi, what do you think about that? And then I want to go around the room with my guests here, because I mean, we're looking for some truth around this situation. I just can't accept what's happening with this teenager. He's a kid. Okay. Anyway, what do you think about it? Do you have thoughts about it? Maybe you don't.
Well, I think that that particular propaganda is functioning on many levels. And, you know, one of my concerns regarding, particularly regarding the sort of commercialization of hip-hop culture, but it's not just hip-hop culture. If you look at black men in many different phases of popular culture settings or arenas, have this sort of real bad man sort of motif that takes place. And so I think it's just a culmination of those particular things where it becomes acceptable. People begin to kind of say, yeah, sure, that's the case. And so whether you're looking at sport, music, you know, et cetera. And so one of the big, most interesting things in one of the classes I teach is we have a section where we look at the whole idea of gangster. And so my students, before I show them anything, I say, okay, what's a gangster? They begin to describe, and, you know, I'm African-American male, and they say they begin to describe an African-American male. And someone who dresses like this or does so-and-so and such-and-such. And then I begin to show them the documentary, you know, Bullets Over Hollywood, and began to kind of say, you know, America has this fascination with gangsters, and none of the gangsters look like me. And, you know, we begin to define what is the real gangster. So it's what we begin to kind of consume as images of negative. And so we have to work effectively to retard that. And unfortunately, as you commercialize some, cultural products, part of that commercialization, unfortunately, is what I call a reification of negative or, you know, unappealing stereotypical images that really kind of move some of the progress that really is there backwards. And so it's an ongoing sort of media battle, if you will. I don't know if I'm speaking in circles or if that's
it makes perfect sense to the degree that something can make sense. I mean, trying to understand it when I read about it in the New York Times and stuff. I really, really appreciate your calling, and I want you to stay in touch. You know, this talk radio show will be podcast on KBOO.FM by the end of the day. Thanks to our super fantastic engineer, Steve, and Sky, the studio dog. So, Tabibi, I want to thank you for calling. And I want to ask just quickly, we're live in the studio with Rose Bent. Rose Bent, all-woman hip-hop band. They are playing Backspace Friday, December 3rd. That's this Friday. It's their CD release. It's an all-ages show. And all the women in this organization here do community work, and we're really privileged to be here live in the studio. And the number to call, 503-231-8187. But we're going to go around this room, and, you know, what is your take on what's going on with this teenager from Oregon State, as well as the Portland 7, you know, who were convicted of not actually being able to make it to Afghanistan or whatever in 2002, you know, these people who never did, I mean, they never did anything. Anyway, I just had to put that out. So if you know, what is your take on that?
My take on it is, you know, honestly, I'm not sure what the facts are. But what I do know is I do know Somalian people. They come over my house. We eat together. I know a lot of different African cultures, and they're wonderful people. They will open up their house. They will give you the clothes off their back for you. I mean, one of the most beautiful cultures I've ever met. And so I just pray and I ask that we do not stereotype these people or brand these people as being, you know, terrorists or whatever and harass them. Why would you destroy a place of worship because someone attended one day? That you don't fight hate with hate. You fight hate with love.
Right.
And so that's the only thing that I ask is don't brand people. Don't stereotype. Don't harass them. Don't be racist against them. I mean, man, that's what we fought against forever and are still fighting to this day. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to keep pushing that forward. I pray for this young man's family. I can only imagine what people are doing to his family if they did that to their mosque.
I think it's a very scary thing, especially when you might fall amongst the stereotype. It's very scary wondering if you associate with certain people what you might be considered to be. There was talks about the new gang law we were going to be having here. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I think if they thought you were a gang member or if you had ties to a gang, you can't, number one, get a gun license. But not that I'm interested in that.
Right,
but
that was the mayor's new law. The mayor, and I'm just going to put this out, also the U.S. attorney, Dwight Holton, who's also in the middle of this case. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, that's the part of it, too, is demonizing young people, even though we know, you know, our young, our brothers, our sisters, our cousins, our neighbors, these young people are dealing with levels of other stuff
right.
that are just like walls, you know, mm-hmm. trying to get into college, trying to get a job, trying to get a better job. And so to put all this other baggage on young people, what do we think is going to happen with that?
I feel like they're trying to kill us.
A lot of it, I think, is cultural, too, and Americans, not all Americans, don't get me twisted, but just kind of wanting this this instant gratification. Like, oh, this kid or this person of color has a problem. Let's fix it. There's no easy answers. It's not like you fix a problem, you know, and when we have a justice system that reflects that, like, okay, this kid, maybe he committed a crime. Maybe he didn't really understand exactly what he was doing. We have to, like, dig a little deeper to try to get to the root of the problem with the school system and the gang laws and so-called terrorism going on here. It's like people, I just wish that the system would dig a little deeper. And, you know, if we had a judicial system that reflected more therapeutic practices,
right.
I guess, where people are rehabilitating themselves rather than being punished, punitive punishment, you know, for behaviors, maybe they would learn.
And it also increases the recidivism rate. It seems like the prison doors are a revolving one. Like she was saying, there are no rehabilitation services, it seems like, because it seems once someone goes in, they have a hard time getting back into society because now they're labeled as a felon or a criminal in some fact. So how do we ever recover? How do we all bring it back around full circle so that we are all progressing?
And then nobody wants to take responsibility. I mean, talking about our CD release party on the 3rd, one of the bands that hasn't been mentioned is Speaker Minds, and they're going to be there as well doing their thing. And I really respect what they're doing right now in the schools. They're taking their music and they're going from school to school. They're hosting writing workshops. So I really have a lot of respect for that, just being involved with the youth, being involved maybe with criminals, you know what I mean? Trying to actually make a change and help people see the light, see that there is opportunity out there, you know. They just have to be taught the path to take to reach those opportunities.
And I just have to jump in and say, this is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. We're joined in the studio this morning with the women of the band called Rose Bent. Their CD release party is this Friday, December 3rd. It's at Backspace. It's an all-ages show. And we're talking about a hip-hop community of people who are all working to make Portland a better place. And we have a full slate of callers. So let's go to some callers. We've got Rudy on the line. What do you think about it all, Rudy? What's going on?
You know, I think the ladies are doing a great job, and, you know, I grew up in North Portland, and being on the phone listening, as I can't tell where you are, you know? And, you know, you have some inclination, but at the same time, man, that bombing thing, you know, kids down there. That could have been anybody's kid. So just because, and I wouldn't label him a kid. Knowing what he's doing, but that's a totally different subject. But as far as the music goes, I think you ladies are doing a great job. Keep it up. And, you know, you guys are going to be moms and see daughters in one day.
And
you
know, some already are.
Kids to be able to come to your shows.
Well, thanks a lot,
okay,
Rudy.
Okay, where's stuff? Blaming all the schools all the time. You got the moms and the dads. I know everybody's busy, but, you know, we got to raise the kids, you know, so good ups on y'all. So.
Right. Thanks a lot, Rudy. And we do have another caller. Hey, Joanne, what is your take, Joanne?
I haven't been listening very close often, but I don't have the ability to do these things. But anyway, I'd like to see art people or music people. I know there's so many damn issues that need to be addressed, but putting something out there, preaching, maybe not preaching, about replacing the jail mentality with something healthy, and also something about creating healthy jobs with healthy working conditions, not as a dream, oh, I'm going to cry, but as a reality. Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling, Joanne. And I think we do have one more caller, Jack. What's your take, Jack?
Well, I heard you guys asking a lot of rhetorical questions, and I keep hearing it, and I keep repeating the point. That, you know, you're saying that, oh, these kids...
All right. And so we do want to... thanks a lot for calling, Jack. We have to remind people to, because of our FCC regulations, we need to watch our speech, and there are certain words that we can't use. And this is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. We're joined live in the studio with the women in the band Rose Bent. Rose Bent hip-hop band, going to be playing Backspace on Friday, December 3rd. And it's a 9 p.m. show, all ages show. And we're right now we've been talking about the community work that people are doing, our vision for the community, and how to support the kids. I have to also say, coming up this morning on KABU at 9 on Political Perspectives, host Andrew Geller interviews Chris Hedges, journalist and the author of 9 books. They're going to discuss his latest book, The Death of the Liberal Class. At 10, hear Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, guests include Catherine Gunn, a former British government whistleblower who speaks out on WikiLeaks. Also, Ali Abu Nima of the Electronic Intifada talks about being under attack by extremist Zionists. And James Paul of the Global Policy Forum discusses the bugging of the United Nations by the U.S. And at 11, the Bike Show delves into the Bicycle Transportation Alliance's 2011 legislative hot-button issues. They also talk with Sean Small of Ruckus Components and Dave Stoops of Black Star Bags about strategies and successes for keeping afloat during the recession. So stay tuned this morning. And it is 8:43. You're listening to KBOO Portland. The number to call, 503-231-8187. We've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah. Can I say one more thing?
Please do.
Don't forget that in the Constitution it says that slavery is hereby abolished except for in the penitentiary.
Except for in the penitentiary.
And they're making a lot of money off of that slavery penitentiary.
It is. It's... So we are with Lady Trinity, we're with Jay Chronic, Miss Jackie, and we're with Miss Chief. Again, we're looking at Rose Bent's first CD, which is going to be released this Friday. Talk about the music on your CD. I know you guys, you have a lot of styles, you got a lot of genres going on. Talk about your music.
We got a lot of stuff on there. We've got love, we have rock, we have strong, independent women. We got a little bit of angry every now and then. Why did you do that to me? We have fun.
Never that.
Stuff to dance to.
Yeah, a little sexy.
Yeah, a whole lot of lyricism.
Yeah, some sexy while you're getting ready to go out with your friends in the morning or in the evening when you're putting your makeup on in the mirror. You play that. You feel good and confident when you're ready to leave the house.
Yeah, we just didn't want to be, like, pigeonholed, I guess, with this album. We really experimented and kind of moved outside of our normal musical boundaries, I guess, from the past. At least I did, and I felt like it was a growth for me musically. And every day we have new ideas, and it's just great.
And can I just say I love these ladies? They're just wonderful.
How did you tell the story of how you met each other?
Start at the beginning.
Okay, so I was out on the scene in Portland doing my solo thing as well as Lady Trinity, and I came across her, just really respected what she was doing, and for the lack of females, so really there wasn't another one. So, you know, I was like, wow.
Oh, Sirens Echo.
Sirens Echo, yeah. Was out there. And they obviously were doing their thing, you know. I hope they come back. And Lady Trinity helped me out a lot with my music, just live and having someone there to back me up, really, and make sure things were sounding good. And it developed from there. We started collaborating, and I'll let you take it from there. Mm-hmm.
And
Miss Chief, yeah.
Yeah, then I met Trinity. We became close. She has production equipment at her house. And so I would go over there to record music because I was working on a spoken word CD. And also I was doing solo. I didn't have a direction. But I was working on solo tracks. And one day I needed an extra verse. And she was just sitting right there, and she hooked me up on a song, which was very helpful. And then we got to perform together sometimes, because I would perform that song at shows.
And then I was just like, man, I want to do music, but I want to do it big. I don't want to do this small time show for free type all the time. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I was just like, man, I got these two strong women who are just tight. I respect them. And I got to respect you to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you're a man or a woman. If you don't have tight lyrics, I don't want to work with you. I mean, just honestly. I mean, I work hard to, you know, it's a process for me to write. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you know, can we bring this together? And so I just kind of introduced. And then we also got a female DJ named Zita. And Zita is hot. She's so hot. She's like one of the only female DJs in Portland, and she's got style and class. And so, big shout out to Zita. She won't be at the CD release party because she's got a show that she has to do on the 4th, and they're flying her out. But she'll be back after then. So,
well,
we will be rocking with the live band, though. So it's all good.
Rose Bent, where do people find your music? What's the best place for people to right now jump on the interwebs and find out more about you? Because I know people are going to run. But the Willy Week just came out like about 10 minutes ago,
mm-hmm.
With a very, very nice write-up about the show upcoming and the band Rose Bent. But where can people find out more about, you have a MySpace and you're on Facebook too.
We also have an official website, rosebent.com. You can go there. We have a lot of the music on there. You can listen to it. The album will be coming out on Friday. It's going to be available on iTunes and Amazon and Rhapsody. And also come to our show Friday night to get a copy.
You Google Rose Bent, I mean, we have the first whole page and probably a whole bunch after that. But you can also buy your tickets.
Pre-order
your tickets. You can find the word I was looking for here on brownpapertickets.com. You actually get a deal. If you do that, it's $10, and you get an autographed CD, autographed poster, but you also get free entry into the show.
I think you should do that.
A deal. I'm not a math teacher, but $10, rather than just spending $10 on the album, you get a show and a poster, and the album and the poster autographed. So.
You're so funny. I'm not a math teacher. You're an English teacher.
Yes. I got a little math skills.
Okay, the number to call if you have questions, 503-231-8187, to join this conversation. We have Sean on the phone. Sean, what is on your mind right now?
I just wanted to give a little bit more information about the Somali teenager that's been accused of planning the bombing.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you know that the FBI paid his rent for several months. They gave him money to spend. He actually found himself a job at one point in Alaska. They put him on a no-fly list.
So he couldn't go get the job.
Yeah, I mean, they're agent provocateurs. They groomed him, and he didn't have a whole lot of friends or much family. So, you know, that's real entrapment,
entrapment
in my book.
People don't win against the feds, you know?
That's the kind of stuff that's going on. So if more people, like the other guy that called and said he wasn't a kid, it's like they look for people who are poor, that are suffering, you know?
And I'm sorry. I was a kid until I turned 25 years old. I don't care if you're just because you're 18, you can buy cigarettes, doesn't mean you're an adult.
No,
thanks, Sean.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Sean, for calling in. And just briefly on that issue, actually this morning the New York Times has come out with an article. A lot of people have been looking at this issue of entrapment. You know, was the teenager entrapped? Richard Bernstein of the New York Times, he's going, was it entrapment? The question naturally arises in the case of Mohammed Osman Mohammed, arrested last week after demonstrating the authorities allege an unbridled enthusiasm for blowing up thousands of people in Portland, Oregon. Mr. Mohammed's court-appointed lawyers have already said they plan to use an entrapment defense when their client goes on trial next year, accusing the government of,
quote, basically grooming the individual, unquote, to commit a crime. And indeed, it does seem to be the case that the 19-year-old Mr. Mohammed's confederates in the plot to detonate a large explosive at a Christmas tree lighting ceremony in Portland were entirely and exclusively FBI agents posing as terrorist accomplices. In fact, the question may be largely academic, given the current U.S. mood. Though the entrapment defense has been used in several terrorism cases since the attacks of September 11th, 2001, no juries have acquitted any defendants on the grounds that they were induced by law enforcement to undertake their criminal activities. This is a case to keep your eye on. And I'm just saying, I'm looking around at the young people. This teenager, he was frustrated. He was angry. There's no question about it. And in my mind, I wish that my government or my community could, when they meet someone who is so frustrated and so angry that he expresses hostile thoughts, that we could have a system of wrapping around a young person like that and saying, you know what, this kid needs support, not, oh, you know what, I'm going to shove this kid towards Guantanamo. Because that's what it looks like. That's just what it looks like to me. I'm putting that out.
Outlove them, outlast them.
Yeah.
That's a philosophy I can get with. Outlove them, outlast them. You know, it takes patience. It really takes a big heart. And as far as, like, going up against the feds, I mean, I'm not going to get into details, but in my own personal experiences throughout the years, I've had my job on the line. I've had to hire an attorney and fight for my career, for really trying to help children, and for my own personal relationships. You know, I've had gang task enforcement really try to take my career away from me because I was supposedly gang affiliated, you know, and then I had my principal really at the time go to bat and say, no, she's working with the youth. She's the one that brings the young gang members to us and says, get them help. Get them involved in programs that will help them. And so trying to be an agent of change, but coming from a background that might be looked down upon by the federal government, by gang task enforcement, by even local police officers, you know, it's a challenge.
Coming from that background, though, I think gives you the best perspective because you might come from a certain background, but you obviously beat it. You beat the statistics and the stereotypes, you know?
Right.
And I think that, you know, we should look for people that were able to make it, you know what I mean, to go back to our youth.
And to me, too, I think it speaks to all of us not buying into the stereotypes of the people sitting next to us and trying to figure out ways that all of us can support the young people no matter what we think that they look like they're doing because of the color of baseball cap they're wearing or, you know,
the
whatever.
Color of their skin.
Right, or whatever they said at that frat party, which apparently is something that's going on with this kid, or what blog he wrote for. There's another one. He wrote for a blog.
Answers.
Right. And, you know, we have a couple more minutes. A bunch of people have called and they want to hear some of your music. And so we also, I just want to ask you one more time, one last question, and then we can go around where people can get their tickets and where people can find out more about the band. But, you know, people think that rap music, hip hop music, music at all, any kind of art, it's just so easy. Who doesn't want to be an artist? But I bet all three of you have something you do every day that just centers you and keeps your feet on the ground and keeps you moving forward. Do you have something that you do every day to just keep your stuff together? Just something that you do for you?
To keep myself humble, let's go back to my church roots. I do thank God for everything every day to keep my, even air, you know what I mean? Limbs, eyesight, because that's important. At any time, my vocal cords can be taken from me and I can't rap anymore. You know, my limbs could be cut off and I can't write with a pen. Anything could happen. And so I make sure I pray. And I like to write anyway. It's just part of life. So, yeah.
All right. And that's Miss Chief. How about you, Lady Trinity? Something you do every day just to keep yourself centered, just to keep yourself moving forward?
I just dream about my future. And I thank God as well. God comes first. But I think about my future and what I want for my family. And I might be tired now. I just dream about that. I think about my house. I think about my car and how I'm able to help the community and give back and me playing with the kids and starting my own school, you know what I'm saying, for at-risk youth who want to go to college. Mm. That is my goal when I turn 50. Like, I want to have, I got to make enough money to do that.
Right.
So.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And how about yourself, Jay Chronic, Miss Jackie?
Man, I try to stay centered. I'm probably like the most stressed out, craziest out of the group. It's hard for me to stay centered. I guess you know, I'm thankful for what I do have. A lot of the time I find my inspiration either in my son or with the youth that I work with, and just kind of remembering that I've got to stay strong for them, and they need someone to look up to. And really hot showers.
Hot showers?
I take a really hot shower every day.
Right on. We have been privileged to spend this hour with Rose Bent. Rose Bent plays Backspace Friday, December 3rd. It's a 9 p.m. show. It's an all-ages show. If you get your tickets on brownpapertickets.com, then you get your tickets, you get your CD, you get a signed poster. And the website, Rose Bent, R-O-S-E-B-E-N-T. .com, also on MySpace. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
I feel better. All right, and stay tuned for Political Perspectives.